Discussion from last time, there were a number of unanswered questions, and talk about it from a slightly different angle, and that is the existence of Ra. Does Ra really exist? Now take a look on your Makoro sheets, page 14. There's a pasuk in Yeshayahu that would seem to explicitly address this question. Yotzer or v'reichoshech oseh shalom v'vorei asara ani Hashem osei kol ele. Hashem creates or creates darkness, oseh shalom v'vorei ra. Of course, we say a variation on this pasuk every day in Birkas Kriya Shema in the morning, but it's not exactly precise. We say vorei asakol. It's an interesting question why, when they were misaken that particular bracha, they decided to change the nusach of the pasuk. Perhaps we could return to that question at the end. But the pasuk, at the very least, says uvorei ra, which certainly would sound like it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually creates evil. Now, the Rambam says that that is not correct. Take a look at the Rambam on the right column of page 14. This is from the Mor Nevuchim, Chelek Gimel, Perek Yud. Maybe we'll just read it in English. We must now state that our opinion in accordance with the results of philosophical research, you know that he who removes the obstacle of motion is to some extent the cause of the motion. For example, if one removes the pillar that supports the beam, he causes the beam to move, as has been stated by Aristotle in his Physics. In this sense, we say that one who removed a certain property, that he produced the absence of that property, although the absence of a property is nothing positive. Just as we say, one who puts out the light at night has produced darkness. So we say, one who destroys the sight of any being, that he produces blindness. Although darkness and blindness are negative properties and require no agent. Meaning to say, if I turn off the light at night, and now it's dark in the room, you might say that I made it dark, but the truth is I didn't make it dark. Because the Rambam argues here, following Aristotle, that darkness is not a positive characteristic, it's not a property, it's simply the absence of light. So I didn't produce darkness, I simply took away the light. If a person blinds another person, he didn't actually produce blindness. Blindness is just the absence of the ability to see. Now, we would attribute that to him, because it was his actions that changed what was. It was light in the room, and now it's dark. But we can't really precisely say that he produced this, because it's not actually something that exists. It's simply the absence of something else. Darkness is simply the absence of light. And he gives an example of the person who removes the beam and the like. In accordance with this view, we explain the following passage from Yeshayahu, Yotzer Or, Uvorei Choshech, Oseh Shalom, Uvorei Asara. For darkness and evil are non-existing things. In other words, even though the Pasuk says that Hashem was Borei Choshech, as well as being Borei Ra, what does the word borei mean? So does borei mean create in the same way that it says yotzer or? Note that the pasuk uses a different word for or, which is yitzira, versus choshech and ra, where it says borei. So the Rambam says, well, no, not really, because choshech and ra are non-existing things. Consider that the Navi doesn't say he was Oseh Choshech or Oseh Ra, because darkness and evil are not things in positive existence. Because in Hebrew, this verb, meaning bore, is applied to non-existing things. And he gives a fascinating example. Bereshis bara Elokim. Here the creation took place from nothing. So Bereshis bara Elokim refers to Yetzira Yesh Me'ayin, which refers to the notion that nothing existed before. And he says that that word bara then indicates that bria is not actually the creation of a positive thing. Thus we say that if anyone abstains from delivering a fellow man from death when he's able to, it is as though he's killed him, right? If you could save somebody's life and you didn't, so the Gemara says that it's kilu hargo. Why? You didn't actually kill him. But when something happens that I could have prevented, so that action is attributed to me. This, by the way, it's an interesting question, might relate to the Rambam's view as understood by Reb Chaim in terms of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah and the Machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Ben Petura, right? Now's not the time to get into that discussion. But Kayadua, it's a very interesting thing that Rabbi Akiva requires a drasha to teach me Chayacha Kodmin, right? Ben Petura, first of all, says, you don't say Chayacha Kodmin. In other words, I can't let this person die. If I have water, I have to give it to him. And even Rabbi Akiva, though he disagrees, requires a drasha. Could have asked, why? After all, what's the Isser? The Isser of letting someone die is Losamad al Dam Reacha. Is Losamad al Dam Reacha Yehar Gval Yavor? One would have imagined not. So then why do we need a Mechayev to tell me that, a special Pasuk, the Chayacha Kodmin? Maybe. It relates to what the Rambam is saying here, and that relates to Reb Chaim over there, and there's a fascinating Chazonish on that Reb Chaim, not for now, but it relates to what the Rambam over here is saying in Memor Nevuchim, which is that oftentimes when I could have prevented something from happening, and I don't, so I'm considered to be the cause. And likewise, we're going to go ahead and attribute the creation of evil, Borei Ra, as well as the creation of darkness, Borei Choshech, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Borei Choshech, because Choshech doesn't even exist, it's the absence of light. Not because he was Borei Ra, but because you see that Halacha, the Rambam draws an analogy here from Halacha, Halacha oftentimes will see the agent, the person who caused that thing to happen, or attribute the cause to the person who could have stopped it, but not, even though the person didn't actually do it, right? So it's as though I killed a person if I didn't save him, even though I could have saved him. I didn't really kill him. I did nothing. I just sat on my chair and did nothing. No. The Torah says it's as though you killed him, right? Likewise, the Torah says Hashem was Borei Ra or Borei Choshech. It's not that Hashem was Borei Choshech. Choshech is just the absence of light. But rather, because it was his activities that allowed for Choshech to reign, allowed for Ra to exist. Ra doesn't actually exist, but allowed for Ra to happen, so he's considered Borei Ra. Right? Hashem was Borei Ra. Why? Let's imagine Reuven kills Shimon. So that's Ra. Well, did Hashem cause Reuven to kill Shimon? Not really. But in a certain sense, he did. Hashem created Reuven. Hashem created Shimon. Hashem gave Reuven the ability to kill Shimon. Hashem gave Reuven free will. And as such, he was Borei Ra. In a sense, he was the cause of Reuven killing Shimon. Not directly, but indirectly, in a sense. That's what Borei Ra means. That's what Borei Choshech means. That's what the Rambam seems to be saying over here. Right? And his analogy is someone who doesn't save another person, it's as though he killed him, as Chazal say. It is now clear that according to these different views, the action of an agent cannot be directly connected with a thing that does not exist, only indirectly. in non-existence, describing as the result of the action of an agent. While in a direct manner, an action can influence only something really in existence, accordingly, when whoever the agent may be, he can act only upon an existing thing. Okay. Now, there are a number of Sifrei Kabbalah who disagree with the Rambam. If you look, for example, at the Ramban in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, he disagrees with this Rambam in terms of Rambam's definition of the word borei. He thinks borei does not simply mean allowing for the existence of something else to exist. We talked about this last week when we talked about the Seir Lazazel, that the idea being that on Yom Kippur we offer a shochad, as it were, to the Kochos Hara. Now, one of the things we mentioned last week, and I'd like to just emphasize that and see it perhaps in another source, is that it's precisely the avod of the Seir Lazazel that highlights the idea that there are no other true existences. Meaning to say like this. If you disagree with the Rambam, if you think Ra exists, if you think Choshech exists, so that, of course, Rahmana Litzlan, could lead to a perspective of dualism. A person could say, okay, Rahmana Litzlan, there's Tov and there's Ra, right? And Ra is some type of independent power. So nobody's saying that. When the Mekubalim, as we'll see, disagree with the Rambam to some degree, they're not saying that there's any independent source of Ra. Everything comes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and precisely, and in a sense ironically, that's exactly what the avoda of this year Lazazel is meant to highlight. Just as one reflection of that, take a look at the Netziv on the left column of page 14, where it's bolded. Kyotu b'zeh shnei se'irim, echad l'ashem, hu kedusha, v'echad l'azazel, hu kein karban l'kochos atum l'chas v'shalom, alam mikol makom, b'ito v'zman, shetziv Hashem, harei zeh mitzvah. In other words, on the one hand, the idea of this Seir Lazazel is highlighting the existence of certain kochos, but at the same time, by incorporating it into our avoda, we're showing how everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Ramban quoted last week from Pirkei Rebbe Lazar, that we're all at the same feast. It's Hashem, who's the Baal Hasuda, who's telling us to send a mana to that koach. That's what we talked about last week. And this idea is very, very important. Meaning to say, there's no one who believes that evil is some type of independent force. Rather, like we saw last week in the Ramban, Samael is a servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and like other angels, he too serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has a certain mission. And so to evil, to the extent that it does exist, if we're going to read the Pasuk more literally, Borei Ra, what that means is that Ra was also created for the purpose of good. Why? Because the existence of Ra allows for the possibility of denying God. It allows for us to ultimately see the Or. The Ramchal's entire Sefer of Das Tfunos, we're going to actually maybe read a quick snippet of it, if you want to pass this around. But the whole Sefer is about that important point. Why does Ra exist? And the answer is that if there was nothing but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we wouldn't be able to appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If Lahavdil, the whole world was green, so we wouldn't know what green is. It's only when there are other colors, where there's black and blue and red, so then we can understand what green is. So without Ra, we couldn't appreciate Tov. Without the apparent existence of other forces, we couldn't possibly appreciate Achdus Hashem. So everything that exists is ultimately exists to show Lahayir al Achduso Yisporach, that all of history and all that exists is to bring about the ultimate goal of Vaya Hashem l'melech al kol haaretz b'yom ahu yeh Hashem echad u'shmo echad. What does that mean? That b'yom ahu yeh Hashem echad u'shmo echad. Nowadays, the Achdus Hashem is not apparent. How so? Because we seem to see kolchos kenegdo. Why do those kolchos exist? So we'll be able to appreciate his Achdus. That's what Yetzias Mitzrayim is all about. That's what all of world history is about. We'll take a look maybe at a couple of these paragraphs here in the Das Tunos, and then again, this I don't even know if this is the best paragraph. I just thought about doing this a couple minutes before Shir, so I found one place where he presents this idea. Again, look throughout the whole Sefer. Amar Asechel, Chalkei Abriya Zos, Mi Shemabit Aleihem, Lefi Ra'os Einav, B'tchila Lo Yireim, Ela Inyanim Mefuzarim Umefuradim, Perush, Bilti Miskashrim Kulam, El Tachlis Achas. So we look at the world around us, and we don't necessarily see unity in the creation. Meaning to say, we don't see how everything that exists to serve a single purpose. Ella, kol achad, inyan, bifnei atzmo. X exists for a certain purpose, Y exists for another purpose. Everything has its goal, but we don't see how everything joins together to serve some ultimate goal. L'tachlis miyuchad, nishlam be'atzmo, bilti she'itzdarech l'chaveirau. Rather, everything seems to be independent. Ki kol kach minim bedomeim, kol kach b'somchim, kol kach b'balechayim, ein b'neim kesher v'yachas shi'itzdarchu le'azer zemizeh. Just look at the sheer amount of creations that exist. There are so many types of bugs. What does one thing have to do with the other? Now, it's interesting, because nowadays we're actually beginning to understand, obviously on a much smaller scale, that that's not true. That one creature, one bug that doesn't seem to be particularly important in a particular ecosystem, if something happens to it, all sorts of things could get out of whack. And it could cause all sorts of harm that go well beyond what we would have imagined could have been caused by this simple little tiny bug. That's true. We're starting to see it on a smaller scale. Ramchal, though, is saying that this is really true about everything. This is what it looks to us. Everything was created for its purpose. That's what it seems like at first glance. Right? You look at the world, you see lots of things. If you're an intelligent person, you'll start to understand the purpose of particular things, but you won't necessarily see how everything is interrelated and exists for some ultimate purpose. Ach mishi amik bechachma yimtza hayos ki anemtzaus kula miskashrim kesher gamor zeh bezeh shekulam tzrichim lahashlim ha'inyan she'elav kivna chachma ha'elyona bevriya. No, everything is about that ultimate purpose in the Briya. V'kulam miskabtzim l'tach l'sachas she'tna'av rabim v'sidram amok me'od v'heim heim kol chalkei abriya harabim ha'ela hinei alkein yisyach sukulam Eilu leilu b'seder sheratzisa ha-machshava ha-al-yono. Mikulam yatza priyato v'arroi latzeis min abriya. Everything that exists, exists because through it, because it plays a necessary role in that ultimate goal of all of creation. The davar zeh kvar amarti amoku ki kan. Ha-chachma misracheves v'olachas ad ein tachlis. Ledas pekudas kol ha-nimtzayim. U'maygiya leyem b'kavana ha-klalis ha-zosh she-zacharinu. V'razal amru, kol ma'asha kodesh baruch hu ba'olamo. So everything that exists, kol, exists to be megala kavod yisborach shemo. The amna tzach lahavin inyan kavod hazeh shegam hu mechudash etzlo yisborach kechol shar hatarim ukimo shebiarti lecha lemala v'shenavin hatorah hazeh navin kudas kol nevraim ha'ela b'ashlamas hakavod hazeh eich kulam tzrichem l'ashlamaso. Ve'ech kulam miskabtim el atachlis hazeh. Ve'ata dai lanu ladas rak bechlal achad hakdama zos. Shevadei kol divrei abriya miskashim heim. U miskabtim el tachlis hachad. Ve'neida al kein ki ein ha-shlemus inyanam ba'mesh sheheim nimtzayim ish ledarko mikzehu. Elo ba'mesh sheheim miskashim zeh v'zeh. U misachtim letachlis hachad. Shezacharnu, kizeh levado hu vadei shlemos inyanam. Kevan shezehu hametzdarech yoser letachlis shebavuro nivru, shehu atachlis haklali shezacharnu. Uveemes tiri, shegam b'masim ein ra nimtza ba'olam, ela b'chelke hadvarim terem hischabram lahashlamas hadavar. So there is no real ra. It's just ra, because it hasn't been connected to the ultimate shlemos. Ach ein davar mushlam shiyeh ra. If it's shalem, then there is no ra. V'zeh kevan shiyadanu shekol ma shekodesh baruch hu oseh hu ach tov me'od. After all, it has to be that way. Why? Because ultimately everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kulo tov. So it would be inconceivable for Hashem to be borei ra in the sense of ra. Rather, in other words, it's not just that it's dependent, like we were saying before. Yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates Ra. It's not an independent Ra. There's no dualism. It also comes from Hashem, but Hashem created Ra. No, that would be impossible, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kulo Tov. So, to what extent does Ra exist? What's meant by Borei Ra? Ra exists in the sense that it's not Shalem. It's Chaser. And when that entity is no longer chaser, then we'll see that it's kulo tov. Hine mashe nire chaser b'tzad echad b'echad mitznay advarim nishlam achisar nahu b'tznay acher shemashlim ba'ado. And that's why everything needs to exist to allow for that ultimate shlemus. V'loy achisaron ahu el mepnei shelo nishlam adavar hahu b'chol tenav. V'kevan shishtalem, so when it is mishtalem, vaday hu tov. We'll see it's tov. V'davar zem is ames, min ha-maisa atzmo, shehu kach, v'ha-maisa klali, shehu sivuv ha-olam. Yisbarer ha-davar shegam hu kach b'sof ha-kol. Bizman shediskayim havtachas, odcha Hashem ki anaftabi. Meaning to say, what's the yisod of odcha Hashem ki anaftabi? That right now, we perceive there to be suffering, chesronos, ra, etc. But ultimately, od chashem ki anaftabi, because we will be modet to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we'll see and we'll perceive that in reality it's kulo tov. Ki az yu nigmarim kol chalkei ha-maisa. V'hine yi ha-maisa ach tov emes. Now this is the idea that we explained last week, which is that what in the Olam HaSiyar, the lower Olamos, seems to be Ra, in a truer Olam, right, in the Olam HaTzilus, Yaakov Esav Shavin, because everything is Ratzon Hashem. Right now, we can't really perceive that, right? That's the idea of Ein HaShem Shalem, Ve'ein HaKiseh Shalem, as long as Amalek is around. Kiyad al keska, milchama al Hashem b'amalek midor dor. There is no shleimus. We daven. Yisgadal v'yisgadash shemei rabah. Right? Yehishmei rabah mivorach. That the shem ka will be shalem. Right? What are we davening for? We're davening for the revelation of that unity. V'ayah Hashem l'melech al kol haaretz b'yomahu. Yehashem echad u'shmo echad. On that day, the achdus will be nizgala. Because right now, we might know he's one, but we don't fully appreciate his oneness. It's only bayomahu, when Ra no longer exists, that we'll appreciate that. But ironically, what the Ramchal is saying is, it's only because Ra exists now that we'll ultimately be able to see that achdus. V'hine, alkei nomar, that's why initially Hashem created the Tava as he did. Whereby everything seems to be independently necessary, but not dependent, not unified towards a certain goal. It's precisely because the various aspects and pieces and parts of creation don't seem to be working together as a single entity that we perceive them as being chaser. Ach, inyan hiskashram vihikabtsam letachlis haklali. Adiraba. Hutikun l'inyanze, ki bezeh hu shiyotze mitachas yedei hara, v'nitzola mimenu. It's through the ultimate unity being revealed that we will see that Ra doesn't really exist. V'hu ha'inyan shezachayinu kvar, shekol ma shekodesh baruch hu ba'olamo lo bro el chvodo. That ultimately everything that exists, even the things that seem like Ra, were Nivru lechvodo. V'akavod hu, shiyyeh hu yisbarach shemo samech b'chol ma'asav, v'yeh lo makom kaviyachol lahanos es kol ma'asav betuvo. V'anhaga b'chol ha'masim eina ela lavi hakol ela tikun ha'gamor. Shelo yiyeh od metzius l'ra klal. That is the tikun gamor. That there'll be no metzius to ra. Ach, ein prizeh yote ela b'kibut kol ha'masim kulam. V'nimtza ki b'mene hateva mitzat atzmam lo mitzat hiskashram niyah bitol v'chol ha'ashpala v'ahafseid. Ach, b'iskashrusam, then nishrash tikunam v'atzalasam min haraos. Oh. And that's why, by the way, you'll see in many of the Sfarim emphasizing that even in seemingly evil things, there will be these sparks of holiness. Why? Great people can see those sparks and can actualize that holiness that's buried deep inside the recesses of what seems to be most profane and most unholy, because everything was created for a reason. Everything is created to ultimately be megala kvodo yisbarach, and that's why it exists. Now, I'd like to take this one step further, and then I'll take some of the questions. And that is, in with respect to the other part of that pasuk, yotzer or vori choshech, ose shalom uveis hara. So, what does bore es hachoshech mean? In other words, agav, right? Everybody's going to agree to the Rambam's diak, the significance in terms of the difference between yotzer and borei. Why it uses a term yotzer with respect to or, but borei with respect to choshech and ra. They don't necessarily say it like the Rambam, that choshech is simply the absence of light. There is a bria of choshech. But the bria of choshech is not a real bria like the bria of or. So let's take a look at how we see this. Take a look at the Gra, which is on the top of the page that I gave out today. This is from the Parish and Sefer Yetzirah. The Gra writes, HaChoshech Eino Hader, like we saw the Rambam claims, Choshech is not simply a lack of light. Elohu Bria Nifla'a, it's a wondrous creation. Kemo Shenemar, Ubore Choshech. Why is it Nifla'a? Exactly for the reason we just said. Take a look again at the next source, another passage from the Gra, in the Adaras Eliyahu from Bereshis. Hader is the absence of light. That's the way the Rambam defined darkness. Darkness doesn't exist, it's simply the absence of light. Vayavdel Elokim, Vayas Hevdel, Shelo Yidcha Choshech V'Yavatel Mikol Rak Shiyeh Niglal Ha'or Mipnei HaChoshech V'Choshech Mipnei HaOr. So Hashem made a Havdala, He made a distinction, that the darkness not be pushed aside, but rather the light, I don't know how to translate this exactly, be gathered up in front of the darkness and vice versa. The lo kechachmei haumos, shachoshech hu haeder, not like the chachmei haumos that we saw the Rambam quoting, that choshech is simply hader, simply the lack of darkness, lack of light. Aval hu bria, rak she'en tuvo nigla le'en hashemesh. It is a bria. Its goodness cannot be discerned by the sun's light, but it exists. That's why there's a makom for its existence at night. Lachen lo namar kitov etzel hachoshach. The Marsha, in the next source, goes even further in arguing for this position. Skip to the second sentence over there. It's not like kedas haminim shachoshach eno ela hada or the lo hayat sarich bria kodem haor. Aval anachnu adas hamaminim ki Hashem yizborach bara shneim yesh meayin. The Marsha stresses that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created both Or and Choshech Yesh Me'ayin. And he implies that to believe anything else is minus. It's heretical. So very striking because there are other thinkers. We saw, first of all, the Rambam adapts this approach. Rav Sadia Gaon in Emunos V'Deos Maimer Aleph says even more. He says that anyone who believes that darkness is real is a heretic. So is this a machlokas mina katzeh l'katzeh? The Marsha says, if you believe darkness doesn't exist, you're a heretic. And Rav Sadia Gaon says, if you believe it does exist, you're a heretic. So I don't think so. I'm not saying they agree to each other, but that's not what's going on here. Right? Why would you say, let's try to understand this, Marsha. Why would you say that if you believe that darkness doesn't exist, then you're a kofir? So maybe you'll say that that's because you say everything comes from God. Everything comes from God, right? Denying everything comes from God is kfira. So, but that's not what he's saying, because the Rambam, or the opposing view, isn't saying that there's something that comes not from God, right? What is he saying? He's saying that darkness simply doesn't exist. It's the absence of light. Elamai. The objection comes from a more fundamental point, which is that there is nothing besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a certain sense. Let's think about it this way. Before creation, as it were, again, we can't even think in those terms. They don't exist. They're false, because the term before is a temporal term. It relates to time. Hashem isn't limited by time. But to the extent that we could imagine it, before creation, so there was nothing besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So to allow for creation, as it were, he had to limit himself in some sense to create the space for everything else to exist. And even if that existence is totally dependent, when they're talking about darkness, when the Marsha here is talking about darkness, or at least metaphysical darkness, what he means is that Hashem allowed for that darkness is also a creation in the sense that it allows all that to exist. And that's why the word choshech occurs in the Torah before Or. Right? What does the Pasuk say? Right? V'aretz haisa tohu v'abohu. The choshech al p'nei tohom. V'ruach alokim v'rachefes al p'nei amayim. And then we have v'yomer alokim yehi Or. Right? So there was this choshech before the Or, because that's precisely what allowed for other things to exist. In other words, the opinion of Sadia Gaon and Agra are not as far apart as they would seem at first, because Rav Sadia Gaon certainly rejects the notion that, you know, what he's trying to get at when he says that anyone who believes in the existence of Choshech or Ra is a kofar. He's saying because everything is dependent upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and certainly the Grand Marsha would agree to that. And I don't even think that the Marsha is saying that all darkness is like material darkness. There might be a type of darkness that's material that relates to this Choshech, it relates to the Choshech in Mitzrayim, perhaps. If you take a look, that's one of the other places that the Rishonim, besides Bereishis, talk about the nature of darkness, is in Makas Choshech. But rather, what he's saying is that in some cases, darkness is in fact more than the absence of light. Because actually, I saw an interesting piece about this once in a work called Mifaneach Tzefunos. It's a work written by Rav Menachem Kasher, who's a fascinating person. So you've all heard of the Tzafnas Paneach by the Rogatchover Gaon. So the Tzafnas Paneach is a very hard work to read. It's a bunch of ions. It makes the gra seem easy. And it's actually a very fascinating work also, because one of his goals is to show the unity in the writings of the Rambam, how there's incredible unity between what the Rambam writes in Mishneh Torah and Mor Nevuchah and the like. It's a very interesting book. Anyway, so Rav Kasher wrote a work called Mifaneach Tzefunos, which goes ahead and takes a number of the pieces in Tzafnas Paneach and sort of spells out what he means in all those vechuleis, so that you can figure out what he's actually trying to get at. So here's a piece on this idea. One of the things that he points out is that that there's a difference between the word choshech. There's something also the Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchah when he talks about, I think we talked about this in the first semester, how words are used differently in earlier and later in Parak Aleph of Bereishis. But he says that there's a difference between the word choshech in Pasuk Beis, right? V'aretz haisa tohu v'abohu v'choshech al p'nei tohom, which is a choshech that exists, versus v'yar elokim es ha'or ki tov v'yavdel elokim bein ha'or bein ha'choshech, which might mean over there what the Rambam's saying, the choshech that's just the hader of Or. Meaning to say these are two types of choshech. There's the choshech that's the absence of light, and there's the choshech that's a bria bifnei atmo. When the pasuk in Yeshayahu says borei choshech, it's referring to that choshech of pasuk beis, which had to exist in order to allow for the bria of everything else. It's not just a heder, but it's a bria, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is borei everything. Okay, there are some questions? No. Amazing. Okay. So I'd like to go on to the next topic today. I think we talked enough about the different approaches to free will and divine foreknowledge, so we're not going to see some of the other shittos on that. Turn to page 18. Turn to page 18. And I want to, yeah.
It seems like this year we're seeing that the Tikkun of Ra is to recognize that really Hashem is Kulato, so it's inconceivable that it could be Ra in the ultimate sense.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas it seemed like last week when we spoke to Lamar about Einam Lamana, the idea was that there's a place higher than both Tov and Ra. It's not about Ra being subsumed within Tov, but somehow within Einam Lamana, Mitzvahs and Abayas are the same. So is there an aporanapnea there?
I think that's two ways of saying the same thing. One is sort of looking at it in a perspective of hierarchical olamos, and one of it is looking at it from the perspective of progress in time. But they're getting to the same point. So the question I wanted to talk about, this very much relates to the first topic we've been discussing, but really from a different angle. We were talking about what does Ra mean, and what does it mean when a person, let's say, decides to do an evil act. And specifically, and this relates to a more general question of concerning the scope of free will, and that is, can one person harm another person if they're undeserving of that harm? So again, clearly this relates to our discussion. What does Ra mean? When we talk about why, for example, innocent people might suffer. So can a wicked person cause an innocent person to suffer that was undeserving of that pain? So take a look over here. We will see a very fascinating discussion that, in fact, this is a seemingly a very fascinating machlokas harishonim. Now, I don't know where I seem to have omitted accidentally a couple of sources from your source sheets, but I'd like to start off by reading to you a pasuk in Yechezkel, which is very important on this topic. This is a pasuk Yechezkel, Perek Lamed Gimel, pasuk Vav, if you want to look it up. The pasuk says like this: V'hatzofeh ki yir'es acherev ba'a v'lo saka ba'shofar. The watchman who sees the sword coming and he does not blow the shofar. Right? So imagine you have a person who is the watchman of the city, he's on Shemirah, and instead of looking out for the enemy coming, he's of course playing on his phone and checking Facebook and the like. So, not surprisingly, the enemy is coming and he doesn't sound the alarm. Lo taka b'shofar, he doesn't blow the shofar because he doesn't notice him. The ha'am lo nizhar. So therefore, because the watchman didn't sound the alarm, the nation living in the city is not careful. Vatavo cherev vatikach mehem nafesh. And now the enemy succeeds in attacking and kills people. So there are people that have died in the city due to the negligence of the watchman. So how are we supposed to view those deaths? Says the pasuk in Yechezkel, Hu ba'avono nilkach, v'damo miyad hatzofeh edrosh. There's a fascinating dichotomy. Hu ba'avono nilkach. Anyone who dies has died because of his sins. Meaning to say that Hashem would not have allowed those people to die in the city had they not be deserving of death. But at the same time, the damo, their blood, miyad hatzofeh drosh, I will hold the watchman accountable. I will hold the watchman accountable. In other words, the watchman is held accountable for the death of those attacked because he was derelict in his responsibilities to guard the city. He deserves punishment because he freely acted. He could have done a good job. He didn't. He's responsible. But at the same time, the people that are killed only died because of their sins. Hashem would not have allowed them to die if he didn't want them to die. Now, how could this be? If they were supposed to die, why do we hold the watchman responsible? The answer is, just like we hold a murderer responsible, even if we believe that, like we say in the Nisana Tokef, Mi Yechia Umi Amos, Mi Bacharev Umi Bachaya, we believe that on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur it was Nigzar that a certain person died this year, but that doesn't exonerate the murderer. You can't kill someone and then defend yourself by saying, well, God wanted him to be dead, otherwise he wouldn't have died. So too, the Pasuk says, Hu bavono nilkach, but still v'damo miyada tzofedrosh. That approach is the approach taken by a number of thinkers, among them the Emunos Videos in Maimer Dalet Parakeh. He takes this quite, explains this quite powerfully. Anu omrim ki amaves maaseh Hashem v'haretzach maaseh haresha v'im kvar chiyuv achach mamisa ilu lo hizid harotzeach hazeh v'hargo hayameis misiba acheres. He quotes the famous line harbe shluchim lamako, meaning to say that if Hashem wants a person to die, they're going to die. How are they going to die? So if they die through the volitional act of the murderer, then so be it. And if not, so they'll die some other way. A car crash, a disease, a random act of violence, they'll be struck by lightning, who knows what. He quotes the Gemara in Tainus, Yud Chesamad Beis, to this effect. There's a famous Gemara in Tainus about the martyrdom of Lulianus and Pappus. Lulianus and Pappus were killed by the Romans during the Adrianic persecutions, and the Yushalmi describes this story. It's a very fascinating story. The persecutor said that you should drink water in a colored glass, presumably to give the impression that they were drinking Yayin Nesach. They refuse. And he says, if you don't drink, I'll kill you. It's interesting. Another interesting question. Why would that be a Harag Val Yavor? Was it a Chiyav? Was it Rishus? Anyway, they refused. So the Rasha tells them, look, if you are, if your God is true, so then he'll deliver you, just like he delivered Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So what do they say back to him? They say like this, not true. V'anu nischayavnu klaya lamakom. V'mena tahorgenu. Harbe hargim yesh lamakom. V'harbe dubim v'arayos yesh lo lamakom v'olamo. Shepogim banu v'hargim osanu. You can't kill us, they tell him. You can't. Because if we're supposed to die, we'll die. If it's not you, it'll be a bear. Harbe hargim yesh lamakom. So if we're deserving of a nes, then we'll be saved. And if not, know that you were not the one to kill us. Because we're only dying because Hashem wants us dead. That's what they tell him. So Rav Saadia Gaon quotes this, as well as many other thinkers. The Abar Benel. The Abar Benel quotes this in a very fascinating discussion. It's in Perek Lamed Zayin in Bereishis, where he talks about the selling of Yosef. And Chazal say in a number of places that why does Yosef go down to Mitzrayim, Lekayim, Atzas, Hazaken, Anikbar B'chevron, right, like the Pasuk says, Meishalcheum Emek Chevron, that Kiger Yezaracha Beretz Lolohem Bavadum Vinu Osam. In other words, Yosef goes down to Mitzrayim because Hashem has a plan. So does that mean that the brothers were not responsible? Chas v'shalom. They acted volitionally, they acted wrongly. And of course, they're held accountable, like they themselves say, Halokim matzas avon avdecha. At the same time, it is true that if Yosef ends up in Mitzrayim, it's because Hashem wanted him to be in Mitzrayim, and he wouldn't have ended up there if that wasn't part of the bigger plan. But that doesn't exonerate the brothers for their free decisions. And, like another medrash says over there, had they not sold the brothers, had the brothers not sold Yosef, so Yaakov would have gone down in Shalosh Shel Barzel. There would have been some other way in which it was carried out. This view, I think, is probably the more prevalent view to this perspective. It could be found in Rav Sadion, as we mentioned, Rabbeinu Bach Ibn Pekuda, in Shar Bitachon Perk Zayin, the Sefer Chinuch, in Mitzvah Reish Mem Aleph, the Abarbanel that we just mentioned, the Gra, in Mishlei Perk Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yates, in other Sfarim as well. The notion that a free actor cannot cause harm to a person about whom it was not decreed that they be harmed. Now, just to clarify one point, we're not always saying that all harm is suffering. Maybe next week we'll talk about that. It's another important topic. HaKadosh Baruch Hu might want a person to experience harm or pain or the like, not as suffering for sin. It's not always a result. It's not always punishment. But nevertheless, that it was a purpose. In other words, according to this Mahalich, in a number of Rishonim and Achronim, there is no possibility of harming somebody that is undeserving or that Hashem did not want them to be harmed. And both ideas are compatible. The notion of Bechira is compatible with the notion of Hashem only allowing a person to experience pain or suffering if that is his ratzon. For whatever reason, we don't know the reason. We definitely don't know. En bi'adeinu lo shavas rishayim lo yisurei tzadikim. We don't know why people suffer. But it's for a purpose, it's a goal, and even when it's at the hands of a free act, it is still only going to happen if Hashem wanted it to happen. Not everyone seems to agree with this approach, though. And a famous source of an opposing position you have here on the left column of page 18 is Yor Chaim HaKadosh. In that very story of the selling of the brothers, the Yor Chaim writes, Vayatzileu miyadam, Yehuda saves Yosef from the brothers. Miyad Bale Bechira. Sorry, it was a Ruvain. Miyad Bale Bechira. Shecholim Laharog. Gam Mi Shalon Eschayiv Misa. Masha'eno Kain Bechayos Ros. A very fascinating idea. What was the advantage of throwing him into the pit, where there were scorpions, Chayos Raus, and the like, over simply killing him? So the answer of the Rechaim Kadosh says is that the following argument was made. We are Bali Bechira, so perhaps Yosef is undeserving of death, and we will kill him using our Bechira. But if a person dies in the hands of animals, so then that's not true. If a person dies in the hands of animals, so then Hashem would only allow the person to die if he was supposed to die. In other words, what the Or Chaim HaKadosh is saying is that a Baal Bechira can, in a certain way, contravene the divine plan. Along the lines of what we said last week when we quoted the Gemara in Sanhedrin, to be Makchish Pamalia Shalmala, to be Makchish Pamalia Shamala, to contravene, whether it's through Bechira of a physical act or using a Kishuf or the like, Hashem's plans. This idea from the Or Chaim really seems to come from Zohar, which you have below. By Kacheu, by Ashlichu Oso Habora, Remez al Darmiole. We don't have time to read the whole paragraph. Take a look. The Zohar seems to say the same point. It adds, actually, that with respect to attacks from animals, Hashem might miraculously intervene if a person is worthy of life, and the same isn't necessarily true with respect to human persecutors. I should note that even though it does seem like there's a machlokas here, there are some thinkers who argue that even the Or Chaim HaKadosh, even the Zohar, could not possibly mean what they seem to be saying. Friedlander, Sisei Chaim, tries to argue for that approach. But the Pashtus is that there are those who disagree. Take a look at, there's a Taisus in Bava Kamma, Pehei Amud Aleph, that sounds that way as well. It's very interesting, Ramban. We mentioned how that might be what the Gemara means when it says Kishaf is Mechashvim Pamal Yishamala. The Ramban in Devarim Perek Yud Ches, he writes V'zeh Sod Hakshafim V'Kocham She'amru Bahem She'em Achishim Pamal Yishamala Lomar She'em Hepech HaKochos HaPshutim V'en HaKchash Al Pamal Yabitzad Me'at Stadim V'alken Ro'i She'tasar Osam HaToresh Yunach Olam L'minhago U'letivo HaPashut She'hu Chefetz Boro. In other words, if you read Machish and Pamal Shamala that way, it's not a raya for this position. But anyway, that does seem to be. Maybe we'll come back to this in the coming weeks. We'll talk a little bit about the nature of hashkacha, because this is the interaction between bechira and hashkacha. How do these two very important ideas correlate to each other? But this too also relates to the nature of the existence of Ra. When the Rambam in Morei Ruchim talks about Ra, he categorizes it in three different categories. And one category of Ra seems to be the idea that people can cause Ra through their own free actions. The Rambam sounds to be like he's taking perhaps more the second approach, though his view is a bit more complex. Okay, so we'll stop here. And Be'ezus Hashem, I think we just have one more shir before Pesach, right? So we'll maybe figure out what we're going to talk about then. I see also, I forgot.